We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Good teams take advantage of opponents' mistakes. Good teams hold their own against opponents' strengths. Good teams improve as the game goes along. Let's take it up a notch. Great teams exploit seemingly every miscue an opponent makes. Great teams beat clubs at their own game. Great teams completely flip the script and get rolling when they're feeling it. Let's take these one by one based on Sunday's Sweet 16 win over Florida State. FSU committed 14 turnovers, their lowest total of the postseason, believe it or not, but the Wolverines seized on almost every one. Michigan scored 24 points off those 14 cough-ups, including 16 off 10 in the first half alone. Florida State has had turnover issues all season, and Michigan was relentless in not necessarily forcing them, but scoring after them. In terms of the Noles' strengths, there were plenty. That was a big reason why so many picked the Seminoles to win this game. The biggest one was, simply, them being really big. Their size is overwhelming for a ton of teams in college basketball. 11 players in the rotation, all 6'4 or taller. They've leveraged that size to outscore opponents in the paint by almost 10 points a game coming into Sunday. In the Sweet 16, Michigan won that battle 50-28. 50 of the Wolverines' 76 points were inside, including 34 of the 44 in the second half. And lastly, in terms of feeling it, in terms of turning on the Jets, how about that second half offensively? Those close twos added up, didn't they? Michigan flipped the script in efficiency. Before the break, 33% shooting. After halftime, 69%. 18 makes, 8 misses against a team that limited its first two NCAA tournament foes to 54 points, UNC Greensboro, and 53 points, Colorado. It all added up to as impressive of an NCAA tournament performance as we've seen from any team this season, and Michigan proved once again that it is a great team. Michigan is an elite team. Let's break it down further with the national champ, Terry Mills, with Brandon Johns Jr., and with Mike Smith right here on Defend the Block.
We're talking Michigan basketball. Welcome to Defend the Block, where we'll take you inside the basketball programs with interviews, analysis, and so much more. Now, here's your host, Brian Bush.
76-58, Michigan flat out dominates Florida State. They led ever since it was 4-3 Seminoles. A brilliant performance by the Wolverines to reach their fourth Elite Eight since 2013. Michigan basketball's postseason journey, which rolls along, is presented by Absopure. Absopure is a proud Michigan company since 1908, and it's the official bottled water of Michigan athletics. As Michigan basketball journeys through the postseason, hydrate like a Wolverine and enjoy a bottle of Absopure natural spring water available in Meijer and other grocery stores in the state of Michigan, or brought right to you with at-home delivery service. To learn more about Absopure water, Visit AbsoPure.com. AbsoPure, the official bottled water of Michigan athletics. I don't know about you, but as that game was transpiring, as Michigan was really holding off Florida State, it did remind me not of the Elite Eight game in 2018. Of course, that was a defensive slugfest. Michigan really had to grind that thing out to knock off at the time the ninth-seeded Seminoles. It reminded me of the previous game, the Texas A&M Sweet 16 game, where A&M, you know, they had really impressed in that first weekend of the NCAA tournament. They had knocked off second-seeded North Carolina, and they were a trendy pick to knock off Michigan. Now, this wasn't, from the standpoint of Florida State, a trendy pick because of what Florida State did in the first couple of rounds of the NCAA tournament. It was impressive, to be sure, but this Florida State team was a trendy selection to get to the Elite Eight and move on beyond that. So it felt like that game because Michigan just kind of announced, yeah, in case you forgot, we're really good. Now, that 2018 team did not have to deal with an injury like Michigan did with Isaiah Livers, but still, this was a one seed for a reason. Michigan had talked so much about its depth. So many experts had praised that depth. Yeah, Michigan's not as good without Isaiah Livers, but they're proving that they can be good enough, and they were more than good enough in this one. And the balance, I mean, that's the thing again. It wasn't necessarily like that LSU game because, you know, LSU came out guns a-blazing. Michigan had to rally in that first half, had to, you know, have some battle backs in the second half, but Michigan just steadily grinded through these Seminoles. Brandon Johns Jr. and Hunter Dickinson combined for 28 points, 14 apiece. They had 14 total rebounds. Franz Wagner with his fourth double-double, 13 and 10. You had Sean D. Brown Jr., 5 of 6 from the floor, made both of his threes, 12 points in 22 minutes. Mike Smith, his 8.4 assist, 3 rebound performance. That's not going to go up there in terms of his best statistical performances, but when you consider the fact that he was going up against guys, in some cases, more than a foot taller than him, or just shy of that with Scottie Barnes as their kind of point forward threat, that's a heck of a job by Smith, who only had 2 turnovers, played 35 minutes, and I think held his own defensively. And the list goes on and on. What Michigan was able to do, their defense was stellar. I thought Franz was just excellent. We'll talk about that a little bit with Terry Mills here momentarily, but just an incredible performance from a team that's playing really, really well. And again, this was a trendy upset pick. A lot of people had Florida State over Michigan a week and a half ago. They were validated by what they saw in their first 2 wins over UNC Greensboro and Colorado. And yet, here's Michigan taking down Florida State rather handily. Now, we're recording this just after the Elite Eight clinching spot for UCLA. What a ball game. The Bruins overcoming that Alex Reese triple to force overtime from Alabama. 88-78. The Bruins were awesome in overtime. They scored 23 points in OT. And yeah, there were some free throws late, but still, they scored on seemingly every possession. This is the second time that a first four team has reached the Elite Eight. UCLA was the 5th to get to the Sweet 16. Of course, the first team to do that was the only team to get this far, the 2011 Shaka Smart-led VCU Rams. So it's been chalk for Michigan to this point, 16th-seeded Texas Southern, 8th-seeded LSU, 4th-seeded Florida State. It's easy to say, oh, well, they're 11. They had to play 4 games. They played in overtime, and certainly Michigan will be favored in this game. I think a lot of people will pick Michigan for the first time since the first round of this tournament, but seeds don't matter at all at this point. UCLA is playing better than an 11 seed. The Pac-12 has proven that, yeah, maybe they should have been more highly regarded in all of this, considering the fact that UCLA and Oregon State are in the Elite Eight. This is being recorded before the Oregon-USC game finishes, but one of those teams will be in. So you have 3 Pac-12 teams in the Elite Eight. Many thought it'd be 3 Big Ten teams at this point. So you tip your cap, you realize this is far from an 11 seed in real life, even though they are on paper. It's going to be a fascinating matchup. Can't wait for it. Tuesday night inside Lucas Oil Stadium. Hope you're enjoying it. It has been a difficult year for so many. Sports always have had a way to block out the quote-unquote day-to-day in our world, to cure some of the ills, the frustrations, the stresses of our lives. boy, 2020 and 2021, I think we've needed it more than in most years. And Michigan men's and women's basketball have delivered and then some. So a tip of the cap to everybody involved. Michigan a winner, 76-58. Let's get into our analysis with the national champ, Terry Mills, after the Wolverines take down the Seminoles. Terry, this is reminiscent of the Sweet 16 in 2018. Remember, Texas A&M was a popular underdog pick. They had come up with a big 7-2 upset. They were trendy, and Michigan just blasted them. And here today, when they got a chance to beat Florida State in the Elite Eight back in 2018, they take down the Noles here in the Sweet 16, and it was a clinic.
Yes, it was. And you know, I kind of applaud Coach Howard and his staff for keeping the players themselves locked in and understanding what the task is at hand and really just dialing in, man. I mean, that was just special there. I mean, you know, you hear about, hey, their length is going to be an issue and their size, and you hear all of these things. But I tell you what, they beat them in every aspect of what you would say a big team, dominant team is supposed to do to you.
And they did it in ways that normally Florida State does it, with balance. Michigan had four players between 12 and 14 points in the paint. Again, Florida State came in averaging almost 10 points more in the paint than their opponents per game, and Michigan comes up with a 50-28 advantage on that side. Michigan certainly played to its strengths, to be sure, but they also beat Florida State at its strengths.
They did. And you know, one of the keys was being able to come out and take care of that basketball. And Michigan did an excellent job at taking care of that basketball. Only 9 turnovers in the game. Understanding that Florida State is a team that's going to press full time. Michigan handled the press. They attacked the press when it was time to attack. When it wasn't, hey, they pulled it back out, executed their offense. I mean, what a clinic.
When this Isaiah Livers' injury happened, the whole theory was that it has to be collective. Of course, you can't just replace one guy. And Michigan has been able to spread out across some of the responsibilities. But Brandon Johns Jr. has assumed the majority of those. And what he did today, it seems like every time we talk after this Livers injury, it's, well, Brandon put up his best performance. Brandon put up his best performance. Today, 14 points, a team high, 6 rebounds, dished out a couple of assists. He did turn it over twice, but not a single foul. He's made so many winning plays. He has assumed a lot of those Isaiah responsibilities.
Yes, he has. And, you know, I'm quite sure that Isaiah's staying in his ear. Could probably, you know, be in a room with his roommate or his guy he's following around to make sure that, hey, you know, you have it. And this coaching staff has always said, you know, even when we talked to him behind the scenes about how special Brandon Johns is. Coach Martelli is very high on Brandon Johns. And you know what? It's paying dividends right now because Brandon Johns is just playing lights out.
So is Franz Wagner. His fourth double-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds. He added 5 assists. And defensively, what he brought to the table, I mean, Florida State didn't get a whole lot going against a lot of guys, but Wagner, I mean, that one play in the second half, it was just beautiful.
Yes, and what he does is he's good at, you know, not only defending, but moving his feet, walling up, and playing defense without fouling. I mean, he doesn't need a whole lot of help. And, you know, I think that speaks volumes, even for this whole Michigan team, just accepting those challenges one-on-one and getting the job done.
Michigan a winner here today, 76-58 over Florida State. And those turnovers for the Noles, 14 leading to 24 points, that felt like when Michigan was really pulling away in this one, that kept the distance. Because anytime Florida State did anything of note and made any sort of run, Michigan was able to take one of those turnovers and turn it into the touchdowns that we talk about so much.
Yeah, turnovers for touchdowns. We talked about not giving them up to Florida State, and guess what? We got a handful of them. So it's good that Michigan knows that, hey, they can come out and continue to win on the defensive end and making it happen. And you already said about how many different ways that Michigan can win a basketball game. Very impressive here today.
How many texts you got already?
Probably about 15, I would say.
I hear that phone.
Yeah,
it's
about to fall off the table here. So, I mean, it was, you know, something special is going on when that starts to happen. And quite sure that this fan base is about ready to starting these vehicles up and start, you know, heading to Indianapolis just to be a part of what's going on here.
It was pretty cool to see. There were about 1,000 fans here at the Big House where we called this one from that were supporting the team with the game on the video board. We're going to be here one more time regardless, and hopefully that means we got a trip to Indy on the back end because, boy, it's going to be a fun one on Tuesday night.
Yeah, well, that was special to see 1,000 actually show up. I mean, it was freezing cold out there. I don't know how they did it, but I'll tell you what, they stayed the entire time. Yep. They did not leave. They stayed the entire time, and that was something special to see.
There's the national champ, Terry Mills, after Michigan just flat-out thumps Florida State by 18 inside Bankers Life Fieldhouse. To a couple of players now. First up, Brandon Johns Jr. What a performance. Just brilliant. And I mean, he had some opportunities, as we talked about with Terry. He was so close. I think that was a double-double-like performance from him. It didn't happen, but the effort was there. The opportunity was there. He just couldn't quite get them all, but the effort was brilliant, and he talked about it with us. How the heck are you feeling, my friend?
I feel great. I've never been to the Elite Eight before, so new experience, new comings and everything. This is an amazing feeling.
Let's start with your team's defensive effort. The fact that Florida State only shot 40%, the fact that you guys were able to force so many turnovers, what was critical on that defensive end?
We just really had to stay in our gaps. We knew they were a heavy driving team. We knew that some of them could shoot as well. So we wanted to close out to the three-point line, but also to contain. But the gaps in the contests were most important for us. We just had to contest every shot, keep that percentage high of the contest rate, and came out the win.
Yeah, B. Johns. You know, I think your game really kind of gets going, and you kind of let me know if that's true. I think once you start hitting those boards and getting those offensive rebounds, I think the rest of your game kind of take care of itself. Is that kind of how you feel?
Yeah, I agree. I think my activity on the offensive boards, the defensive boards, really gets me going. It just gets my energy going, and I think it takes well for the rest of the game.
And the way that your team was able to control inside, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen any sort of stats yet, but you guys scored 50 points in the paint, 34 in the second half. I know you were big in that regard. Hunter Dickinson, we saw Franz getting inside and tussling. Big Country was along those same lines. What was it like in there where it seemed like you guys just had the positioning, the effort, the energy to get the job done?
We knew they were a long team. They're pretty big in the paint, but we wanted to go at them. We wanted to be aggressive nonstop. I think the more aggressive we were, the more fouls that were called. That's how we got the lead up a little bit more. But I think just being aggressive and trying to be out physical them, it really helped out for us in the end.
Yeah, Brandon, during the course of the game on the offensive end, you actually flashed up around the high post a few times. What did you see out there being able to go flash in the high post? I think one time you actually scored, and another time you was able to drop it down low to Big Country and finishing around the rim. What did you see on film?
I just looked at who was guarding Hunter or Austin. I knew if they were fronting, we would have a solid high-low action. So we've worked on it all week, really, working the high post, working the low post, and just getting it down there to the big man and let them do their work. So I was just following the game plan and get my guys going.
You told me earlier this week that, you know, you let yourself enjoy this for just a brief bit of time and then it's focused on the next one. But what was it like in that locker room? You said this is your first crack at the Elite Eight. What was that emotion and experience like?
Man, it's awesome. Looking at Adrian and all the freshmen and stuff, I'm like, hey, you guys we're just so lucky to be in this position, especially the freshmen. This is their first year, so we're just super happy for them. So the emotions in the locker room are super high right now, and we're going to enjoy this tonight and get back to work tomorrow.
Yeah, Brandon, just to kind of let you know of the impact, I know you guys don't get a chance to see it, but had over 1,000 fans here in the big house of where we're calling it at, and they were able to watch it on the Jumbotron, and they stayed the whole time, and they cheered, man, just to let you know the effect that you guys are having back here in Ann Arbor.
Whoa, that's awesome. I did not know that. That's amazing, actually. The fans are in the big house?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm guessing there's going to be more coming up on Tuesday. Brandon, happy for all you guys. Really happy for you. Your attitude, your approach has been great all season. This is so well-deserved. Keep it rolling, my man.
Thank you. I will. I appreciate it.
One more player interview here, Mike Smith. I thought he did way more than the box score would indicate. Really strong effort from him. Made a few big shots. That and one on the blur that he raced by Florida State was special. One of the exclamation points in the second half. Holding his own against a long, lanky, dangerous team. Here's Mike Smith on his performance. This is a matchup that on paper you were going to be in some difficult spots in terms of height. They have 6'4 or greater everywhere. How were you able to maneuver to engineer this offense the way that you did?
Coach just preached to us that because me and Eli are the ones that, undersized, quote unquote. So coach, challenged us to, hey, like fight, like it's our last, cause it could be our last, and challenged us to, get those stops in to red when we're posted up or to rebound the ball more, and just play our game, at the end of the day, people, that are taller are slower. So, I had an advantage, with that.
Yeah, Mike, I know you were kind of beat yourself up a little bit and you kind of your worst critic, against that LSU game, but hey, you guys did get the win. What did the coaching staff kind of tell you and instill in you? Because I knew that this team would definitely need you, and this was a heck of a bounce back game for yourself.
They just said stay with it, stay the course. Get out of your head and just play the game. You play the game for all your life and play college basketball. You have games like that. Let it go and move on because we're going to need you. And that's all you kind of want. From a coach, especially your head coach and the coaching staff and your players, and the teammates, just saying like, hey, like we're with you, we won. So, it's fine. You get another chance to play again and, we're going to need you that game, which was this game. And, that's all you really want as a player, as a kid, a man, just to hear that from your teammates and, and coaching staff.
You said after that first game against Texas Southern, you were a little nervous. It was your NCAA tournament debut. Have those butterflies gone away, and does it feel a little bit more normal here in the last couple?
Yeah, for sure. It feels a lot more normal, especially with our fans. Our fans are great. Oh, man. It was so loud in there. It's half packed. I could only imagine if it was, like full. If it had 100% capacity, it would be ridiculous. Like, it's like a home game, And I want to give a shout out to them because, with that energy and our energy that we bring is just, it's amazing.
Yeah, well, Mike, just to let you know, you had at least 1,000 fans here at the Big House where we're actually calling it, watching the game here on the Jumbotron. So I know you guys didn't get a chance to see that, but, hey, they were here for you. Second question is, I thought you got – have you ever played in a game where a team just pressed you the entire game? I thought you did an excellent job at handling that press, and I tell you what, you probably need some rest, but I don't know how you feel.
I've done that all my life. Growing up in Chicago, you play AAU and you play versus high school teams who press you 24/7 all day and all night, And as you can tell, I look really comfortable because it's kind of how I like to play. I'm fast. If you didn't know that, I think if you watched the game today, you could tell that I'm really quick, that I'm fast with the ball. So, I grew up playing like that. And obviously, for sure, I need to get off my feet, Playing that fast all the time is just tough, but it's what the team needed, so I was willing to do it.
A couple more for Mike Smith, and we heard all season about the work that Brandon Johns Jr. has put in, that he was ready. He was staying ready, so he didn't have to get ready. And now with Isaiah Livers out, his performances have been brilliant. What is it like to see a guy who's put so much work in, has waited his turn to come up with the type of effort, energy, and production that he has?
It's just great. It's a testimony to him because he worked so hard all his life. Brandon is a spectacular player. And he's just, he's showing all his capability right now. And it's the perfect time. You couldn't ask for anything else from him. He crashes the board. He makes pull-ups. He makes shots. He goes to the offensive rebound. He gets defensive rebounds. He plays the game, and he runs. And it's just good for him. I'm really happy, excited for him to, get that spotlight because he deserves it more than anybody, I think.
Yeah, a lot was said about Florida State's length, and you guys totally dominated 50-28 in that paint. And when you think of dominating in the paint like that, you think of big guys. There was a particular play where you went coast to coast and got an and one. What did you actually see on that? Because that was a big bucket, and you talk about points in the paint. None was bigger than that one.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, every time I came down in the press, you know, I mean, nobody would step up. So, you know, I mean, coach just said, hey, explore, maybe go to the rim and keep your dribble if there's nothing there. And, you know, I mean, nobody stepped up. And, you know, what I mean, I just took it to the basket and, you know, I mean, he fouled me and I made the and one. It was, you know, I mean, really exciting. You know, I mean, it brought me back to my high school days and just going coast to coast.
Mike, we're thrilled for you. I know this is why you came to Michigan. Three down, three to go. I know you'll take it one at a time, but enjoy this one tonight, all right?
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
There's Mike Smith, and that'll wrap things up for this edition of Defend the Block. As always, Michigan basketball's postseason journey is presented by Absopure. Absopure, the official bottled water of Michigan athletics. Thanks so much to everyone who made this podcast possible. Terry Mills, Mike Smith, Brandon Johns Jr., special shout-out Tom Weirot in Indianapolis. He has been doing great work in helping facilitate some of those conversations. The plan is to be back again on Monday for a preview of the Elite Eight. We'll have that coming out hopefully by early Monday evening. Getting set for a Tuesday night clash, Michigan and UCLA, two big-time brands. It's 1 versus 11, but like we talked about earlier, UCLA, that's no 11 seed. They're the real deal. Michigan will most certainly have to earn it. That'll do it for me, Brian Bush. Hope you're enjoying this, Michigan fans. What a blast. This is Defend the Block. Go Blue.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Defend the Block, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.